You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in. In this episode, we're going to talk about human design. It's a complex system that explains how you were built and how to best respond to the world, like a combination between astrology and Myers-Briggs. This is really just going to be an introduction into the concept of human design and then a deep dive into our personal experience with our human design experiment and our experience as projectors. But if this is a new concept for you, you'll definitely want to learn what your human design type is so that the rest of the episode makes sense to you, right? So it's kind of like if you were listening to an episode on a personality test, you'll want to know what your personality is so that you can learn something. So if you want to go to www.myhumandesign.com, you can download your free chart and figure out what type you have. There's 5 types in the human design system. So you can be a projector, a reflector, a manifester, a manifesting generator, or a generator. There's a lot of resources and websites out there where you can get your free chart. You can check out My Body Graph, Jovian Archive, or like we said, myhumandesign.com. And this episode is sponsored by my free 3-day intuitive eating mindset challenge. This free challenge is for anyone who wants to kickstart their intuitive eating journey and learn how to get aligned to what works for you. This challenge is designed to help you learn what type of eater you are and what might be keeping you stuck in a less than ideal relationship with food or with your body. You can learn how to stop the harmful yo-yo dieting cycle and adopt self-compassionate mindfulness while ditching the harmful all-or-nothing mindset. And you'll learn how to flex those intuitive eating muscles we are all born with that have been buried by diet culture. This challenge is great for those experiencing food obsession and overwhelm. So if you're always thinking about your next meal or a cheat meal, if you're just so over calorie tracking and macro counting and everything like that of having to weigh your food and portion out your food, if you find that you're always starting and stopping diets and just nothing seems to work for you, and if you find that you're starting to get anxiety just thinking about food, then it's time to ditch diets and get in touch with your body through intuitive eating. Take action today by joining the challenge and you'll get the guidance you've been looking for straight to your inbox. In just 3 days, you can massively shift your relationship with food and body, discover and eliminate what has been keeping you stuck, and make powerful, lasting transformation toward healthful living. So to sign up for the challenge, simply go to www.intuitiveeatingmindset.org/3-day-challenge. All right. And now we're going to dive into the episode and learn more about human design. So there's a lot of personality tests out there. Maybe you guys have heard of Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram or anything else out there that kind of puts your personality into a category. And today we want to talk about something that's not quite a personality test, but all our journey of taking personality tests has led us to what's called human design. And human design is so interesting. It's something that combines astrology and so many different ancient wisdoms. And I'm here with my friend Gabby, and I'm going to let her introduce herself, and we're going to talk about human design.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited for my repeat on the podcast. This is so cool. And I am Gabby. So if you guys didn't hear the first episode where I was in it, I am actually a photographer and a yogi. I own Embodied Art Boudoir, where I help women overcome doubt to realize that they're truly a masterpiece through an empowering and confidence boosting boudoir photography session. So, and the whole experience that goes around it. So I actually opened this business, which I now know is like so right for me, after I discovered human design. So me and Melissa, well, Melissa found it first and then she kind of told me about it a few times. She's like, you need to check out human design. You need to check it out. I'm like, okay, whatever. Yes. No. I was just like, no, go away.
I could not stop talking about it when I found it. Yeah.
I ignored her for a while and then I started noticing her changing and like how she seemed more in tune with like what she actually wanted out of her business and out of her life. And before, you know, we were both going, you know, we're talking about last year, pandemic, as like early stage entrepreneurs, both struggling a lot and we're both struggling a lot. And she somehow came out of it. And I was like, what have you done?
Yeah. Yeah. Mindset. We were both struggling a lot with mindset. And it's kind of like a flip switched for me when I found human design. And it's really funny because, you know, Gabby and I just love learning. And she was just, she had a lot going on and a lot of other things that she was learning. She was part of a mastermind. So, you know, it made sense. She's like, I cannot put another thing on my plate. Get back to me with human design. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'm like, it's life changing, but okay, I'll get back to you. But, it's funny because yeah, when you think about all these other personality tests, I'm a Libra, I'm an Enneagram. Well, that's not personality, but I think of that as personality traits. I really identify with my Libra self and Enneagram 7. And if you know anything about the Enneagram and being an Enneagram 7, I am just so all over the place and shiny object syndrome and love to start new things. When with business, I really struggled with, okay, what is my biggest why? What is my one thing that I can really sit down and master? Because I would just lose interest and I'd find these new things I wanted to do. And I think human design actually really helped to ground me as well. I mean, there's so much. We definitely are going to talk about all the ways that human design has helped us. But I think this is a great place, you know, to start because we've been saying human design. We've really got to, yeah, let's share with you guys how you can figure out yours, what it is. So we'll talk about what human design means and then how you can figure out what your human design is.
Yeah, so I am not a human design coach, neither is Melissa, and there's a ton of great resources out there, but just for those who are listening in, we'll give kind of a brief overview of what it is. It's like Melissa said, it's a type of personality typing system that's based on the date, time, and location of your birth. Location is only used to determine the standard time. It's related to astrology because it does have some influence. The position of the stars and the planets at the time of your birth is what influences your human design. That's what determines your type and also your profile and all this kind of stuff. And human design can be really complicated. When she first mentioned it, Melissa, I kind of like Googled it and I was like, no, that's way too complicated. I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time to read about human design to like see if it's worthwhile at all. But the great thing about human design is you don't have to do that. There's your aura type. There's your strategy, which is based on your type. There's your authority. And then there's it gets more complicated. You have a definition, you have a profile. I guess that's 5, not 4.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's all these different factors.
Five human design types that you can be. So you can be a generator, a manifester, a manifesting generator. So that's kind of like a combo one, a projector or a reflector. And then within those five types, there's 4 aura types. And with that aura type, it's really just kind of the way that people perceive you or the way that you're, you know, when you're around other people, how the way your energy kind of flows. So Gabby and I are projectors. We have like a piercing, penetrating aura, and we can really have this energy that's like
intensity. There's an intensity. Yeah. So you have your type, and as projectors, each type has a strategy. So the projector's strategy is to wait for the invitation, which, oh my God, we are both so not trained to wait for the invitation. Yeah. Both Melissa, the Enneagram 7, who shiny object syndrome, loves to chase after new ideas. And then me, the person who's just like, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the eight, by the way, if you guys are familiar with Enneagram.
I'm the Enneagram eight, the challenger. yeah. So this, I mean, just the strategy itself, which for projectors is wave the invitation, for generators, it is to respond. So somebody has to ask you a yes or no question and you have to kind of answer with a yes or no. You can answer yes or no questions, but not open-ended questions. Manifestors just kind of have to tell everybody what they're up to. Their strategy is to inform. So if they just tell people, hey, I'm going to do this, that's a sign of success for them. And then manifesting generators is like a mix of the two. Honestly, I'm not a huge expert. I don't know if you know a better way to put that, Melissa, yeah. But I know many gens is like a mix. You can it is, inform it is. And respond.
Yeah, you can do both.
Yeah. And then reflectors have to wait a full moon cycle, 28 days before making major decisions that just look for strategy for each type. So the idea behind these types is that if you follow your strategy, then your life will be more easeful because you're kind of making decisions that are in alignment with your type. If you're making decisions the way that your type should be making decisions.
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level? Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleia. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this. Your own branded affirmation cards, beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success. Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your client's personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleia's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleia. Visit our website today at soleia.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleia.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you, soleia.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation, one affirmation at a time.
And these types, really what it comes down to is there's this human design. They also base the chakra system with this too. And for each type, there's different parts of the chakra system that are defined or not. And basically that means that's what is your strength, or that's an area that you can be easily conditioned and you're going to gain wisdom from. So when I think of what's your strength, it's like, it's what's innate. It's like, you already have that knowing, you're already good at it. You already know how to deal with that. Everything else is like an area of wisdom where we're kind of learning from other people and figuring out those coping, you know, how to get along with those areas. So that's really unique and cool to see as well, because I really resonate with, you know, what I see with mine, with my areas that are defined and undefined and everything as a projector. And I think the big thing, you know, with human design, like Abby said, all you have to know is your authority and your strategy. So we definitely want to share more of ours. I'd recommend, like, go listen. If any of this interests you, or if you're confused and you want to know more, we can definitely do a part two of this. We can deep dive into human design and share more. But the purpose of this episode is, you know, we just want to introduce this concept, and we want to share like how we took this concept and ran with it. We did our own experiment, and this was so impactful. That's why we're making a whole episode about it, because crazy things happened when we actually followed this. So that's why we want to go over that today. And I'll just say a quick note for all my projectors out there, because I know waiting for the invitation can sound so confusing. And basically that means that unlike other types that are able to maybe initiate more or respond to things, for projectors, we really rely on basically being able to get a clear cut invitation to start something. Maybe someone comes up to you and says, hey, you'd be really good at this, or are you offering something like this? And that's like an invitation for you to initiate. But if you just start things and nobody's recognized you first, you're going to come up against a lot of resistance. So the way to be able to,
One example here that I think is just relevant right now is with this podcast. If I had gone up to Melissa and said, can I be a guest on your podcast? She might think I'm like being too forward. She might be like, oh, why are you being so thirsty and desperate? You know, even if I'm just kind of like excited about the idea, even if there's nothing desperate in me and I'm like, oh, this sounds fun, I'm still waiting for her to offer, like extend the invitation to, because projectors rely on recognition, which to me is a hard pill to swallow, really hard pill to swallow. I want to just self-recognize myself and just
put me but you can. That's the thing. So this is what I've heard that I actually love about this is I feel like there's two ways to go about it. One way is not a great way, where you're just kind of sitting there like waiting for people to recognize you. But the more you recognize yourself and you realize I am worthy of this, I am the expert, but you're not being pushy about it. You're not going up to people and saying, Hey, can you have me on? You're just simply doing your thing. You're just recognizing yourself. You feel good. You feel confident. And you're just over there creating, having fun, doing your own thing and ready for when the invitation comes. And then the more you recognize yourself, people will then recognize you as well and invite you.
And I love that you clarify that, because it kind of reminded me of one definition of waiting for the invitation that I heard on a podcast that I just loved because it was so clear. Actually, it might've been a YouTube video, but like in the human design system, they say projectors have to wait for invitations in four areas. It's like love, moving, career. And I can never remember the fourth area, but it's like one of those big, money. It might be money or finance or something like that. But one more intuitive way I heard it explained was that you have to be invited into somebody else's world if you want to have an impact on their energy. So the example with the podcast is like, if I'm going in and putting myself in your podcast space, Melissa, this is an energetic exchange, right? Like we're energetically exchanging right now. I can't force myself into that place. I have to wait for your energy to want to embrace mine, and so that we can work together. So I really liked that way of explaining, like, what does waiting for the invitation mean? Because it made me feel a lot better, because it's like, yes, I can still do things for myself. Just like what you were saying, you can recognize yourself. But when it comes to, you know, working with somebody else, like in maybe a, you know, a mentorship or coach, or even a friendship or collaboration, a partnership, that kind of stuff, a love relationship, getting some kind of invitation, a signal from them that they are ready to invite you into, to welcome you into their energy is what we need.
Exactly. And what's funny is projectors, a lot of projectors tend to be therapists, coaches, counselors, managers. And it's said that the projector's gift to the world is to understand. So we get like a 30,000 foot view. Like we have a big picture thinking. We can understand systems. We can understand how to improve things and how to help people, right? So self-development, all things like that. So we can be a guide for others. But the thing is, not everyone's ready. Everyone's at different levels. And when you just approach people like, hey, you should do it this way or that way or whatever, that can be really off-putting for people. And even when you're a therapist, right? Or me as a dietitian, as a coach, we're trained, thank goodness, now to like ask more questions and say, hey, would you like to know more about this? And you guide others, you help others, but you have to ask, you know, you have to see like what they're ready to hear, what they want to learn, because we can't just bulldoze our way in and say, hey, you should do this, right? So I think that's the thing, like projectors are really able to help guide transformations and to guide people. But if they're not in their strategy and authority, and if they're just out there initiating and being the manager, the coach that nobody asked for, you know, and just being really harsh, Yeah, exactly. So it's so fascinating. I'll just share super quick with generators. You know, their work is the gift to the world. Generators have so much sacral energy. They can just work and put out content and work like crazy. It's awesome. And yeah, for them, it's not really so much about initiating either, but they kind of like they're listening to their intuition. They're just responding. So if they hear something that sounds good and lights them up and it feels good and they say yes, that helps. Or it's always helpful if they have someone else kind of talking to them and they can respond to it. So I've heard that with relationships, like it helps more than someone saying like, which restaurant do you want to go to? But saying, do you want to go to this or do you want to go to that? And let them say yes or no. So generators respond. Manifestors are initiators, and they're the ones that we think of those huge like Jeff Bezos or whoever, like the innovators that they just make things just happen. They just walk in and they just have that super big, impressive energy of like, all right, I'm doing this. They don't have to wait for anyone to give them permission. They just kind of show up and it happens. And when you think in the business world, like those people that just can cold DM you, and it works. For a lot of us, it doesn't work, but manifestors, that's like the type of thing that they thrive with. They just have that energy that they can just say, yep, I'm doing this, and just lead the charge. So initiating is their gift to the world. And for reflectors are basically here to be the judges of humanity and reflect back the injustices of humanity that humanity inflicts on itself, their gift of the world, their ability to clearly discern the this or the that of the world. They basically have all their chakra centers open. And so everything, they're just kind of taking everything in and they kind of have pieces of everything. They're able to kind of reflect back the other types. Okay. So, but yeah, if you guys want to figure out what your type is, learn more about that, you can go to
there's a bunch of things. You can just search body graph and there'll be a bunch of websites that pop up and all of them will give you the same results. So there's like mybodygraph.com and there's a few other body graph websites, but body graph is what you want to look for online to find out. And you're just going to need to plug in your birthday, time and location, and it will spit out this really, really complicated chart with all these different shapes on it. And just look at the sidebar or wherever on the website it's talking about. It's giving you the little summary on my body graph. It's on the right side, and just look for strategy and authority. And those are what you got to focus on. Strategy being to wait for the invitation to respond, et cetera, et cetera. And authority. Do you want to talk about authority now? Because this one has been a really interesting rabbit hole to dive into.
Yes. Let's talk about it. Definitely.
All right. So you're splenic authority, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you're splenic authority, and I am a self-projected authority, which I think is only, it's one of the authorities. Some authorities can apply to any of the types, and some are like type specific. So I'm pretty sure self-projected is projector only. And self-projected, I've seen it explained in a couple different ways. I'll kind of mention both of them and I'll mention which one works better for me. One definition of self-projected authority is that you got to talk out loud and you come to realizations by just kind of like stream of consciousness thoughts. And that's how you figure out the truth for you, because it's just going to want, it's going to be what comes out of your mouth when you're not overthinking it. And then another way I heard it explained was self-projected authority is your actions are based on like what would you do, you know, like what is most in line with you as you are. And for me, I've never been a person who needed to talk things out loud. I know it works for a lot of people, and I absolutely do have realizations when I'm kind of stream of consciousness thinking out loud. Like Melissa's experienced a lot of my realizations because we talk a lot, and I'll just kind of be talking about a problem I'm experiencing, and then I'll kind of be like, oh, okay, I should do this. And though that is true, I definitely resonate more with this other way I heard self-projected authority explained, which was that you have to ask yourself, is this the kind of thing that I would do? And that really stuck with me better, because really that's the way that I make my decisions. I'm like, I don't really care so much like what everyone else is doing. What's most important is this in line with who the kind of person that I want to be. And that's been more of my guidepost in terms of my decision making. And so I really love that way of describing authority. And I think that those two very kind of very different approaches to the self-projected authority speak to how much variety and variation there is in the human design system, that there's a lot of different ways. A lot of it's based on interpretation. So you kind of got to take it into your own life and start acting it out to figure out what works for you. It's not just going to be like, here's who you are, this is how you make decisions, blah, blah, blah. There's definitely a process of like internalizing and choosing for yourself with this system.
Yes, totally. I mean, that's why we're calling this the human design experiment. And that's what people suggest, because there's so much to learn. I mean, we're throwing out so many new words for you guys, but we just love, you know, learning different things. And we've already dove deep with different personality tests because we saw value in them. And maybe they're not always 100% accurate. People's personality can change somewhat and stuff, but it is helpful to kind of get a good idea. It just helps you have more self-awareness and understand your strengths and get, and really just sit down with yourself and know yourself, right? And be like, does this actually resonate with me? Does this actually accurately describe me? So you have to ask yourself that. With human design, there's so much to it, which is what I love about it. It's such a fun rabbit hole to go down. So with my authority, with splenic authority, this is one of the oldest survival awareness centers that we have. And it ties us deeply to our past. So the spleen, this idea of the splenic authority means that you know how to survive right now. So it can kind of be experienced like cat-like senses of total alertness. And it's hard for a lot of people to access this. But if you have this authority, it's kind of like you might hear it or feel it or something, but it will only speak once. So you'll get that gut reaction, right? Like, and I think a lot of people can, just to give an example, I think a lot of people have had a moment in their life, maybe where they have something like that, like intuition, right? Talking to you, and you hear it once, you get this one little feeling or voice of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then you do it anyways. And then later in retrospect and hindsight, you're like, oh my gosh, I totally knew I shouldn't have done that. You know, something warned me, but I did it anyways, because with intuition and with this type of authority, it's not that logical processing or emotional processing where you're sitting through it and you're working through it and it comes back in waves and it comes back over and over and you're talking it through or whatever. It's like, no, it just shows up once. And then once it, you know, you get that one feeling, and that's why it's important to recognize it, because then later your brain kicks in and all the thoughts and all the things that are kind of going against this in the moment, one time warning. So that's why it's important to get aware of what does that feel like. And that's what it is. It's like that one little in the moment thing. Like if you're turning down a street and you all of a sudden get this little thing, like maybe I shouldn't go down this street. That's what that feels like. So I, yeah. Yeah, so I like it. You know, I think it fits me because I'm the intuitive eating mindset coach, and I'm all about this. I'm all about going with that first response. Like I actually talk about that all the time, and it's worked for me in so many areas of my life. Like with taking tests, I'm always like, I'm going to go with my very first instinct response. If 0.1 seconds later, I decide maybe it's B instead of A, I'm just going to go with A and keep going, because I've learned to trust that. I've already had a relationship with that. So now it's just reminding myself for all different areas of my life. It's for school that always came super easily and something I developed that relationship. But, you know, I haven't trusted myself in other areas. I've shared before, like how I haven't trusted myself when I started my business and I kind of just went with the flow and things, you know, went off the rails. And then now as I'm trusting myself again, it's beautiful. So that's why we're really excited to talk about our experience. So Gabby, you went all in making the decision to fully trust human design to like test this theory, kind of like an experiment. So please share with us what that process looked like and, you know, where you were at before and then what happened over time as you've been actually going all in with human design.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very wacky story, I think. I don't know. Like I mentioned earlier, I had heard you talking about it and I was just like, no, I'm too busy. and then I was getting into like a really just like dark, hopeless place as far as like my business and what direction am I going with it and why does nothing feel like it's working? Like it feels like everything I've tried doesn't work. Like how are all these things? Like I followed all the expert strategies. Like I read all the books. I like know business pretty well.
When we say all of them, like you're the type of person that you read a book in a day. Yeah. Yeah.
So many books about marketing and sales. And I come from a sales background and business background too. And starting a business and online business and photography business.
Invested
and I learned
in
all these
coach.
Things. Invested in a coach. I invested so much time in learning and nothing worked. Like all the things that people are like, do this and it'll work. I would do it and it would not work. Just nothing was working. So I was just like, you know what? Screw it. Melissa's like in a way better place now since she's started ranting about human design. And and I want to be like her. I want to be happy again. She just had at peace with, like, she seemed like she had settled an internal debate between what she heard she was supposed to be doing and what she actually wanted to do. And I was like, I want to serve that internal debate. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to learn about human design. And I found out I was a projector. And then I listened to the podcast, That Projector Life, which is great for projectors. She deeps dive into the system specifically related to projectors, which is why I don't know a whole lot related to the other types. And I said, I'm just going to act as if it's true. You can't test something without giving it an honest effort. And so you can't trust kind of a life modality without giving it an honest effort. At least that's how I see it. Other people might not see it that way, and that's fine, but that's the way I see it. And that's the way I do my life. And so I was like, screw it. I'm just going to believe it's true. I'm going to try for the last quarter of the year, I'm going to just act as if human design is real and true. And I'm a projector. And if I follow these strategies, then my life will become easier because I literally have nothing to lose right now. And that's just kind of the way I approach mindset stuff in general. And so I did that. And I went, at the time I was focusing all my energy on my elopement photography business, which I truly loved, but it was just like an uphill slog every single day. And it just wasn't really getting me anywhere as much as I wanted it to go somewhere. And I had this mindset of like, I really should just focus on one thing at a time. Like I shouldn't split my energy in multiple places. I should keep on working on this one until it works. With human design, when I dived into that, I really had to take a hard look at that assumption that I just need to keep on working on this until it works, and realize that I never actually got an invitation to start that business in particular. But there had been something that had been on my radar for over a year that was super related to my deeper interests and values that seemed right for me, that multiple different friends had invited me to start doing.
Wow.
And it was boudoir photography. I had been
multiple
getting invitations, multiple people. I had been getting invitations to do this kind of photography for like 9 months at that point. Like, I'm not talking about like 20 million invitations. I'm talking about like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But that's enough. That's enough.
That's
so
what
I,
it is. That's what you need. Yeah.
That's all you need. And I got the invitation to start doing boudoir photography. And I thought, okay, I need to build my portfolio specific for boudoir. I mean, I had all the skills, a lot of photography skills apply across different genres of photography, not all, but in terms of like creating a really incredible client experience and using specific and clear posing instruction and helping people feel comfortable and safe in front of the camera and able to express themselves. I already had those skills. I had already been practicing those, and I started photography doing yoga photography. So I loved posing and I knew how to shape bodies and stuff. So I was just like, I've got the skills. Let me just put it out there, put myself out there and see what happens. And that was my first decision to do, as like, okay, this is what a projector would do. Right. And then I listened to an invitation I received to start doing boudoir photography. And then as a projector, you can issue invitations. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be invited into anything. So I put an invitation out there in a way that people could respond to and invite me into their process. So I put a call out there on some Facebook groups and I said, hey, I'm doing, this boudoir photography, and I want to create an opportunity for women on their journey of self-love to see something something beautiful about themselves. And I asked people to send an application because I was giving away a free session to do it. And I asked people to send in applications and I ended up like, I gave away a free session, but people can still purchase like different packages and collections and stuff like that. And I ended up getting like dozens of applications right away, like more leads than I had seen in like months in my other business, like so many leads, people that sounded really excited about it or really interested in it. And when it all came down to it, I think I shot like 11 women in my first like a month and a half, maybe 2 months. I made almost $20,000. And it was
wild.
I felt happy doing it. I felt like each experience was important. Like I created connections with people and they left feeling like empowered and more confident than ever. And just like really in a they like looking at themselves and being like, that's me. And I'm like, yes, that's you. You're incredible. And it felt so right. So it was so wild for me to do that kind of shift, to have that kind of, like you said earlier, like switch flipped. Like it was just so different. It was so much easier. It was so much more fulfilling than what I was doing before. And I didn't feel like I was being taken advantage of, like I had started feeling in my low-mid photography business, or like I was working too much for free, or, you know, not getting paid my worth. Like I felt like I was having the impact I wanted to have on people's lives. I was getting paid my worth. People were appreciating my work because my work was important to them.
Yes. Amazing. Exactly. So you really saw a shift in so many ways. You saw in your mindset and your, you know, beliefs and just feeling better. You also saw the shift in your business and how it worked. And like people were listening, people were interested. You were getting tons of clients. You made $20,000. And how did you feel about like what you've read with your specific design type?
No, at first, because I don't really think that that human design kind of expresses like who you are. I think the way I saw human design was more of kind of like a manual or a guide than like telling me who I was. You know, I feel like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs or even the astrology, like you're, you know, I'm a Scorpio, that kind of stuff. I feel like that's more about telling you who you are, you know, these are the traits that you display. These are the qualities that you have. This is how you react to difficult situations. And human design is more of like, this is kind of the guidelines for you to follow to make the most aligned decisions in your life.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I see both because I feel like when I look at it more, I'm like, okay, cool. Like in my head, it kind of shows me more, because I think when you go really deep with human design, there's some psychology elements there and struggles.
And I just haven't done that.
Yeah, exactly. But and that's what I think is so cool. I think like the best use of human design and why people focus on the like blueprint, like the roadmap thing, is because that's what we care about, right? And that's the most useful thing. I mean, what's the point of just being like, okay, yeah, this is a personality feature of mine or whatever? It's like, no, we want that guideline. Like we want help to be able to integrate like what's the best way for us to do things, like what's best for our energy, because that actually works with our lifestyle, makes us feel good, and it helps us improve our communication and other people receive us in a better way. So human design is just so fascinating. Like it's crazy, but I think it's
awesome. To answer your question of like, how did you feel though? Not pleased. I was not pleased when I heard somebody tell me I have to wait for somebody to invite me to do the things that I want to do. No bueno. But I just had to accept it. See, that's part of the reason why I was such a skeptic. And I'm also like not, you know, I'm everyone not like super into that astrology or anything. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know, this just seems like another thing. And then I was like, oh, I'm desperate, so I'm just gonna believe it. And only by doing that was I able to see it works. But I wasn't happy to hear that I had to be invited.
It's pretty universal that like projectors and reflectors feel like, oh my God, we got the short end of the stick. And like just the word manifester sounds awesome. They're like the top boss. But no, but when you really think about it, I feel like when you know, of course, at face value, hearing that, you're like, what? That sounds so shitty. But then when you actually realize, when you actually think about like, no, the way I like running my life, that makes sense. Like for me, so what I got out of human design and in the very beginning, what I saw really like click for me was I was in such a stress mode and getting out of my intuition because I have been listening to my intuition with school and academics. I'd been listening to my intuition with my health and fitness and nutrition and feeling so good. And then when I went and started a business, bam, just listening to the other gurus, not listening to my intuition. And that was awful. That was taking me down, you know, the path of the most resistance. Human design helped me with that, but some other things too that I really saw with projector and being a projector specifically is that you have a self theme and a not self theme. So the self theme is success and the not self theme is bitterness. So projectors want to feel successful and they want to feel, and there's so many definitions of success, right? But it's kind of like that at the end of the day, that's what I've been noticing in my adult life. You know, I feel successful if I do my to-do list or if one person reaches out to me and says, wow, you really spoke to me with that post, or if a client is happy or whatever, or if I hit an income goal, you know, and like the work I'm doing, it's to help others. And it's also like the feeling that I get is, man, I feel good. I feel like I am successful in this. But when you're not following that strategy and authority, you'll get bitter. And that's exactly like the emotion that I was feeling. It was that mindset, like in the beginning when we were both struggling with mindset, I was so bitter and I was in comparison. And that's a theme I've seen through my life because with having an eating disorder and being in comparison, I could easily fall into bitterness. So all those different four types have their different themes. Manifestors are like anger. Generators are frustration. I can't remember reflectors. I think it's disappointment. I know like their self theme is surprise and delight.
That's so nice.
Yeah. I can't remember the not self theme, but
maybe. So one thing, when I first heard the word bitterness, I was like, I did not identify with that word at all. I was just like, what is bitterness?
Because you were strong. You were not in comparison. Yeah, you weren't in comparison mindset. Well, I think of
bitterness. But I was bitter. So yeah. My bitterness was like grumpy. Nobody appreciates me. Yeah. Why am I even doing this? Yeah. Everything sucks. That was my bitterness. So I'm curious what your bitterness felt like.
Yeah, my bitterness was looking around and being like, if they can do it, why the hell can't I? Why are they successful? Wait, I'm growing followers or I'm doing the right things or I feel like I'm putting so much effort and I'm so passionate and I know my stuff. And the bitterness was like, it's not happening for me, but also that second level of like, oh my God, I suck. Everyone's good and I'm not. And so it was a lot of comparison and bitterness. With that. And I think of that. So if you want to really know how it felt for me, like Hamilton, when you see Aaron Burns and he's over there, like constantly looking at Hamilton and like, why not me? You know, and Aaron even knew he's singing this song. So I wait, so I wait, so I wait.
Oh. But
it was laced with bitterness. It's like, you got to be waiting for an invitation, but you got to be waiting with joy. You got to be waiting with like recognizing yourself and feeling good, keeping your energy good, your vibration high. That's how it works. So that's what I was going to say. That's the first piece I noticed. I had to get myself out of the bitterness, which was my not self theme. And I had to get myself into following bliss and joy and just letting it go and trusting and being like, yeah, you know, during the waiting, what they say for projectors during that waiting period, you're just out there having fun, living life and recognizing yourself and feeling successful. Even if you're not quote unquote successful yet, you just feel it. And that's what flipped it for me. So you don't want to be waiting around like Aaron Burns, like in bitterness waiting. You know, you got to be waiting, but already feeling that self theme of already feeling successful, even if it didn't happen yet.
Mm-hmm. I think the moment I felt the most resonance with something somebody said about a projector was when I read this article online and it said, projectors, we're not here to work. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
And that's to say that I am like a lazy bum who sits around watching cartoons all day.
Not at
I
mean, all.
On Saturdays I am, but that's a Saturday, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. We got to have fun. But it's just to say that like, I have been anti-hustle since I first heard that word.
Yeah.
I hate the word hustle. I hate the grinding. Kind of hustle grind culture of like, you just got to grind yourself down until there's nothing joyful left in you so that you can prove yourself in a capitalist system that doesn't actually care about you. And when I read that statement, we're not here to work, it immediately clicked. I knew what it meant. And it's referring to how projectors have this role of guide. They are here to help, to see, like how Melissa was saying before, to see that like 1,000 foot view, to see everything from a whole, to be able to zoom out and see the big picture and then help guide people on that journey, which is a big part of how, you know, Melissa does coaching and I do photography. We're both kind of in a guidance role with the people that we're creating relationships with and helping guide them to a place where they can be, you know, their best version of themselves. So I really love that.
Yeah, I'm so not for hustle culture because I literally can't survive. Like, I just can't. I physically can't.
After working like 40 hours in a week.
Exactly. And that's why I've always highly, highly, highly been into astrology and resonate with being a Libra, because Libra is like balance. So it's like work hard, play hard, whatever. But I mean, for real, I think the thing with projectors is, so, you know, people say like we're not designed to work those 8-hour days. And I think it's because we love learning. I mean, you and I are avid learners. Most people aren't like that. I mean, a lot are. But when I just look around at other people that I know, a lot of them are workers, like generators, you know, and they would rather be actually working, doing things. And I love working too, but I need that time to actually live and learn and read a book and do a course and learn things. Yeah. And go out there and relax and integrate. So I think that's why, like, it gives us the time to learn so many different things.
We learn and stuff teach. And we impart that knowledge onto others. My head is full of random shit. Like, there's so many random tidbits in here. And exactly. I'm ready to give them to whoever needs them. And I also think that, just speaking of kind of what you were saying before of like, you know, you would go to take a test and you would just know the answers. I think we're both the kind of people that like, we'd be like the first ones done with the test. We're just like fast. Our work, we're fast. We are fast workers. So like what it takes, I just because I don't work 8 hours a day doesn't mean I don't do as much work as somebody who does work 8 hours a day. Yeah. I get a lot done.
Well, we do get a lot. I think generators can still get way more done. They can run circles around us, but... But we're also like, that's the thing, that we're here to help. Like, it's awesome. They have so much energy and they can do that. And they still like, they don't want to be wasting their time. They want to get things sooner and they want to be doing things in a more efficient way. So projectors are also those people that will master systems and schedules and help people like with their time management and get things done faster. I know you're amazing at that. Like, I actually have an interest in it too. So it is funny. Like, we like being like, what's the smartest way? What's the most efficient way of doing that?
Organization strategy. You're definitely organized and systems thinking.
Yeah. And I've tinkered with so many platforms, like it's obviously important. So it's like you have to have someone out there who knows that and helps other people with that. Everyone, that's what I love about it. It's like everyone has their thing. And that's why I think human design, it really resonates. But yeah, we're not like rigid in this. We pretty much have embodied it at this point. Like, we don't really have to think about it because we, you know, spent a couple weeks, months, whatever, like really learning it and experimenting with it. So I feel like we're just kind of naturally living our strategy and authority. For me, the biggest lessons and like what changed my life in the last year, actually, I feel like 2020 was the most impactful year of my life with the most growth and knowledge and up-leveling and everything. I mean, it started off pretty rocky, but I was intentional to learn and grow through it and sit with everything that was uncomfortable and push through that. Having human design come during that year, that was one of the biggest parts of it. I mean, aside from also like therapy and so many different things I was doing, but human design really opened the door for me to a lot. It opened the door for me to reconnect with my intuition more than ever and really like be solid and trusting my intuition. It opened the door for me to be intentionally manifesting, because I would do that naturally. I never knew that that existed. I was just kind of actually knew it because people say manifesting, and I actually did that for my dietitian exam. Like I wrote a little note. Actually, if I looked at that, that was crazy. I looked at that the other day and I'm like, wow, I wrote this in the way that manifestation gurus teach you step by step to do it before I'd ever knew that and learned from people. So it's like we have this stuff like within us. We can all be our own guru. You know, we just have to trust ourselves. Human design opened that door for me to bring in more manifestation intentionally and think about that. Think about cast the vision of what I want with my life and believe it and trust it and go for it. And then, you know, following the strategy really worked well for me because I feel so much better. It helped improve my mindset. So yeah, it's been crazy. I could just talk all day about how it's worked and why it works.
Yeah, I think what you're saying made me realize, and I think that you'll probably resonate with this, is that human design kind of deciding, choosing to follow the projector strategy and authority really let me let go of what I should be doing in my business and in my life and embrace what I want to be doing or what I know feels right doing. I guess the next biggest change after kind of shifting to a different genre of photography, which I absolutely love and feel so fulfilled in and have a great impact in, was also just like giving up on Instagram. Instagram was always something that like I was only posting to Instagram because it's what I should be doing as an entrepreneur, as a photographer. I need to post to Instagram. But guess what? I never got a single lead through Instagram. Nobody cared. Like it felt like a painful experience every time I had to sit down to write captions and schedule stuff out. Something about the platform, it's like I like, just like anyone else, like, you know, I like going on Instagram occasionally and seeing pictures of like really cute cats and funny memes. And I like reels now. They're hilarious because I don't want to download TikTok. But when it let me let go of Instagram, and I was investing like an hour a day in trying to grow my Instagram following so I can get more leads from it for months with no results. And when I finally let go of it, I just felt so happy. I just felt like way more relaxed, way more at peace. It just like was not something that I wanted to do. And when I finally started living as a projector and let go of what I should be doing to market my business and just kind of did what felt more natural to me, I started growing a Facebook group, which I love so much more. I love Facebook groups way more than Instagram, and focusing on like email and other just like things that I like more, that I enjoy more. Leads started coming in. Marketing became a lot easier and more effortless. It felt more natural. Just everything felt more natural.
Yes, exactly. You gotta, that's beautiful. Like you gotta figure out what feels good, what works for you. And we can get so far away from that because we're just listening. You know, I think it happens to almost everyone where we get into business and we're looking up to other coaches and experts. And we still look up to people, but now we test it toward, you know, we test it with our intuition and we test it with what actually feels good and what we want to do. So we can learn little tips and better strategies for the tools we've already picked. It's up to us now to pick our strategy that feels good for us. And I'm someone that I love Instagram, and there's other things that like, ugh, I would never want to do, like working on SEO or something. And even Facebook groups, I actually started a Facebook group and like did not keep up with it. And I'm like, I'm going to stick with Instagram and podcasting. I've been wanting to do podcasting for years, but I felt like I want to co-host. And I'm actually so glad I didn't ever start. That was more probably imposter syndrome and everything. But it worked out perfectly because after learning about human design and just getting things in the right place and getting in alignment through more intentional manifestation and feeling good and improving my coaching and everything and my business and my Instagram growth and all that happening. And I still in the back of my mind was like, I want the podcast, but I gotta wait. I don't know what's going to happen.
About it like every 2 months.
Yeah.
Like podcast, and then come up with a reason to not do the podcast.
Yeah, I know. And then I finally like sat down. I was doing this manifestation challenge and I sat down and actually wrote it out as like what I wanted. Every time I've written something out, this is why I always talk about journaling and everything. Anytime I've written something in my journal, it's like magic. When I've written how I want to improve relationships, bam, improvement when I let myself dream and be like, oh, I want to be in a dream house. I want to live somewhere like really nice. And I want to have 4 bedrooms or whatever. It's like within a week, like we went, saw the house and we're like, okay, we're getting it. So it's crazy. And then same thing with the podcast. So when I finally sat down and wrote it and like deep down what I really wanted, like my favorite podcast was the Skinny Confidential, him and her podcast, because I really liked the dynamic. And I just thought that was so fun. It's like, that's such a fun way to co-host, you know, with your spouse. And that's like a good way to connect. And you're having conversations with other amazing thought leaders. You're learning through the podcast. And you're just connecting with your own family. You can connect with friends. I'm like, ah, that, I want that. And that's what happened. So now, you know, Aaron's the one who actually came to me and he was like, he invited me. Exactly. So that's what made it work. And it's been so easy and effortless. And we've had amazing guests, as you guys have seen, who have come to us. Like, we haven't gone to anyone. Everyone has come to us and wanted to be on our podcast so far. So invitations left and right, effortlessly.
And that's why everything is so good. Like, I haven't listened to every episode, but everyone that I have listened to, I'm just like, oh, this is really good. Melissa, it took you so long to get here, but I'm so glad you are and that you waited for the invitation, because who knows, it might have been a total disaster if you had just like gone for it, because you're
even felt good about it, because it wouldn't have been the way I actually wanted it. And it would have just been me, and I would have probably been hustling, because it's amazing to actually pair up with people who have the skills you don't. I mean, you hear that all the time. And that's what's funny too, with my type of being a projector, the 2-4 splenic, is that it's said that I'll get a lot of my opportunities through my own personal network. And that's just happened time and time again. So it's pretty hilarious how it works out that way. It works out how it should work out.
Yes. There's so much. I don't know. I feel like I've covered like my biggest realizations so far. And I'm like pretty excited. You know, I've been kind of believing it for almost 6 months now, and I'm still content with just focusing on my strategy and authority. And like, you know, I kind of learned a little bit about the other stuff, but I'm so content with just like focusing on this stuff for a while, because I've heard some experts say, just focus on your strategy and authority for like a year or 2 years before you even worry about the profile and definition, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, cool. I like that. It's less work for me.
Exactly. And you know, everything is a process, and we just need those constant reminders, and we need to develop those habits. So I think that's great for anyone listening. Like, just get your profile, figure out your strategy and authority, and just start there. If you're listening and you're like, man, I kind of want to do this human design experiment for myself and see what's up, then awesome. So if you guys think we should do another part of this and talk more about human design, like, I love talking about it. We could do a follow-up. Let's do a follow-up in like 6 months, see where we're at.
I love that.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is super fun. And we just had to share. I'm like, Gabby, you have to come on, because I think it's pretty mind-blowing what happened.
I think so too. I'm still mind-blown, but I'm like, cool, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. Keep it coming.
Yeah.
This is way easier. My life is so much easier now.
Exactly.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. So maybe you guys
thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's been amazing. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe.
Do you know these three things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just gonna make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work,
The last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed beautiful cards to help you address all three of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck affirmation cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck affirmation cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.